Previously on the Adventure Zone.
There's a grand relic one of our seekers have found in the city of Goldcliff. And it is in the possession of a master criminal known as the Raven. And you are just gobsmacked by the largest building in town, which is this 20-story tall golden tower emblazoned with the words Goldcliff Trust. This building is actually slowly being swallowed up by these gigantic thorny vines.
Do you want us to go in and get her?
Can I tell you something? That would be terrific.
Let me ask you this follow-up.
Hit me.
Do you think we're high enough level to do that? I don't know how high level those vines are.
It is a tree ant, and his name is Trent. That's not a listener. I just thought it would be a fun joke. And as it turned out...
You are right.
I chop it in half.
It topples backwards into the booths in the back of the room, and he screams at you very loud with sap pouring out of his mouth.
But I chopped him in half.
And he did take some damage for that.
Yeah, I should hope so.
If you don't like this episode, you can make like a tree and leaf. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. It's been a really rough week. It's the Adventure Zone!
Last we left off, I just killed the tree ant with a single blow.
No. Trent
chopped him clean in half. Bunyan-esque, they called it.
Yeah.
Trent the tree
then
ant.
Then he ate a flapjack the size of a house.
The tree did or Magnus?
They both did. They shared it.
Yeah, they had.
And we kissed in the middle.
That's a lot to eat.
They worked it out.
A lot of kissing plants this adventure arc. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, it had to happen eventually, right?
Okay. Is it my turn yet?
No, it's Trent the Tree Ant's turn.
I mean, I get two attacks.
Okay, we'll say, yeah, it is still your turn. You've just chopped him over, and he lets you know, hey, I'm still here. It's still me, Trent, and I'm still alive.
Now, let me ask you this. I have a special skill called Disarming Strike. Can I do that and take his arms? Probably not, right?
I don't even know what Disarming Strike means. I don't think it means disarm.
Well, it means that when I hit, I use one of my special dice, the reaction dice, to disarm them. But I guess since he doesn't have weapons, he's basically just doing melee, right?
Yeah, he's a tree.
Okay. Well, then I'm just going to attack him with
He's actually got a gun.
Thus, guns are introduced into our universe.
He's got an AK. And he's got it, and he looks like he knows how to use it.
I shout from the plane, oh, he's got a gun, but nobody can hear me, and I'm just watching the
Are you
unfold.
Still in that plane?
What you say?
All right, I'm rolling to attack him. I'm going to do one-handed so that I've got my shield out, because I don't want to get hit for 14 points of damage.
You use your move to get to that fountain, but you can still access his butt from where you just cut him.
I want to chop his butt again.
Okay.
I rolled a 16 plus 7, so that's 13. Or, sorry, 23.
Yeah. Plus 7. Jeezer creezer.
Yeah, dude. That's my attack.
I don't doubt
now.
It, but yeah. People will be rolling some high numbers now. Yeah, you
that's
hit him.
1d8. 4 plus 6. So I hit him for 10.
Yeah. He did not like that. Is that it for you?
I mean, I could action surge and hit him again, but I think that might be greedy, so I'll wait.
Okay. Okay, so now Trent the Tree Ant rears up on his two broad branches to sort of lift himself up and get a good look at the face of the person who just attacked him. And he is going to whip at you with his smaller... spikier branch arm. And he rolls a 21 versus AC.
Woof. Yep. So I have reaction or parry. When hit, use reaction dice plus S dice to reduce damage by D8 plus dexterity modifier.
There's a lot of shit. I don't. What are S dice?
Maybe it's pronounced S-dice.
Dice. So basically, that I have three reactions I can do it before a short rest.
So you roll a d8.
Yeah. Okay. So it was 4 plus my dexterity modifier, which is 2. So I reduce the amount of damage I take by 6.
Okay. Did I say how much damage you took yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
He's going to add 6 to it.
Oh, that dick.
No, that's not true. It was 14, so minus 6 is 8.
Uh-huh.
You take 8 poison damage.
Oh, no.
And we're back up to the top of the order. Taco, you are in the ethereal plane.
Okay, come back.
Can you move in the ethereal plane and then come back?
Yeah, I mean, I can get...
That'd be pretty cool.
I'm cool where I'm at. I could. What happens is when I come back... I mean, I can move in the ethereal plane. I automatically come back at the beginning of my turn. When I come back, I can come back to an unoccupied space within 10 feet of where I left.
Man, so, that's a good fucking spell.
So how far was I from... How far am I from he who was Trent?
You're still about 30 feet away. Okay, from him, well, back at the front door.
Fine by me.
Okay.
I'm going to cast Scorching Ray on Trent.
Are you Scorching Ray?
He wants to know.
You know what's funny? Dad's never listened to My Brother and Me before. He's just a big Jimmy Ray fan.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Aren't we all?
So let me tell you the story here. I'm going to create 3 rays of fire and hurl them at targets within range. I can do one target or several. Obviously, I'm just doing the one target. I'm assuming that the whole of Trent is now not connected to the stump, right? The stump's just like is no longer part of Trent.
Yeah, it's just like if you're fighting Magnus and you cut his foot off, you wouldn't attack his foot.
No, that's true. I don't correct. If he was cutting his foot off, I wouldn't do that. So I'm making a range spell attack for each of the 3 rays. And then on hit, the target takes 2d6 fire damage.
Okay.
This will be unpleasant.
I hope it works.
First one is a 2 plus...
That's going to miss.
It's going to miss. There's no reason to do that math. Next one is a 20.
Yeah, that's a hit.
That's a hit. My spellcasting modifier, is that what we were just talking about, the proficiency bonus plus my...
Intellect. Yes.
Intellect, okay.
Plus, so. If you have, plus your umbrella is plus 1 now, so 7, I think.
Okay.
I don't know what your intellect is, actually. So
that's 16. So there's 26 and 16.
The 26 hits, the 16 just misses.
Oh, sheesh. Okay.
5 and 6. 11.
Okay. Wait, did you hit him twice? Or each one does...
Each one does 2d6.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So you did 11 damage. You actually did 22 damage.
Oh, fire.
Because he is vulnerable to that shit.
Nice. And then I wink out of existence.
Cool. How long does that blink go until you fail the roll?
It goes for a minute.
Okay. Well, you're trying to combat is 6 seconds, so.
Yeah, right. So that's I was thinking we probably wouldn't use it all up. But yeah, if we go 10 rounds, just remind me that I can't do it anymore. I need to use it again.
Okay.
And where did you go?
I'm in the ethereal plane.
Is there anything you can steal on the ethereal plane?
No, I can't interact with anything over here.
Well, good.
Next in the order are the vines.
What?
The vines in front of the fountain have been drenched in some of the sap that came out of Trent's whole situation and have begun to animate. And 2 of them raise up into the air almost like snakes that have been charmed, and they rear back. And they strike at Merle.
What?
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
One of them critically misses. And the other rolls a 24.
All right. What do I roll?
Nothing. Oh. Is your AC higher than 24? Because if so, your character's broken and we need to restart.
No, I got 18.
Okay. You take... 11 points of damage, and you are restrained. I know you're wondering, what does that mean?
Tell me, Griffin.
It means that you've learned how to control yourself and keep yourself from lashing out at others.
This appendix leaves much to be desired.
You're restrained. A restrained creature's speed becomes zero, and it can't benefit from any bonus to its speed. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage, and the creature's attack rolls have disadvantage. The creature has disadvantage on dexterity saving throws. So you're all tied up in these vines.
Okay. So I can't do anything?
At the end of your turn, you can make a dexterity saving throw, trying to beat a 10. But no, for this turn, you're all tied up. You can do stuff, you just can't move.
Okay.
And if you're attacked, then the attack has advantage, and if you attack anything, the attack has disadvantage.
Okay.
How would he attack something if he can't move?
I don't know, with his god magic.
With his brain.
Okay.
All right, but before I do anything like that, let me hit you with something else.
No.
I talk to plants. We've already established that early.
Yeah.
Can I just look at Trent and ask him why? Can I just ask him why?
I'm furiously flipping through the book trying to find a way. You have two channel divinities. So at level 6, you got a second channel divinity. You can bust that one off again.
I think it would be good for the podcast if you would use this spell slot to talk to Trent. Talk to Trent. No, for the podcast, you should talk to Trent. We need to hear from Trent.
We need to check in with Trent at this point.
I am going to use my other channel divinity, and I am going
to... My butt!
Trent.
My butt! No, my butt!
What's funny is this is not the character of Trent. Griffin just sat on a porcupine.
My butt! I was just born! And then my butt came off. How did you do this? I'll kill you all.
Trent.
I just got born. I'm a baby and you cut my butt off. You cut my whole body off my butt.
I have a power to heal you.
I
have
hear
plant.
It, man.
No,
you're
listen.
Like, listen,
I can
no,
grow.
You listen. I don't have a butt anymore because you're rolling with some genuine dicks.
I'm not with them. I'm not with them.
You entered into the room with them and you healed one of them, bud.
No,
nice
I
try.
Saw them attack you and I came in here and I said, can't we just talk to Trent? I just want to talk. I don't know who these guys are. I have plant growth. I can heal you.
What is plant growth? Well, what
That's
is
where it? I make a... Listen. I know it hurts.
I hit a boo-boo.
And he hurt your butt, and he's a bad, bad man.
He is the worst man. I've only met four men, and he's one of them, and I hate it.
And here, I can do plant growth and make your butt feel good. Oh, God, I worded that wrong.
Well, from what I've heard, it's actually something you're very much into.
Here, you can read this Extreme Teen Bible.
I can't read. I'm a plant, and I'm like 30 minutes old.
Okay. No. Listen, Taco can read it to you, and I can use plant growth. No, and make you.
That was
all
a fart. I have
better.
To do those out of my mouth now. Thanks to your friend.
That's okay. Oh wow. Oh
yeah, it's a real horror show in here.
Holy shit, that's the worst. No, it's not the worst.
I'm so glad I'm on the Imperial plane for that.
I really like it. Oh, I guess Magnus will have to read the Bible to you, and I'll heal you.
This whole time, Magnus is just saying, I don't understand any of this. I just hear sounds coming out of Merle. I hear
Merle's just talking like, yeah, you can't comprehend any of this. Trent says, are you going to reattach me to my old butt or what?
I will try to do that, but if I do, we have to stop this silly little conflict and be buds. And you can really be a bud. See what I did there?
Good.
That was a plant thing. And
I couldn't hear it. I'm in the ethereal plane. Yeah.
Okay. And you're speaking tree.
Yeah.
You just rewind yourself?
I don't want to get... Listen, I'm going to get kind of existential now. But I was born like a minute ago.
Yeah.
And I was put here to stop people from going upstairs. And I think I can...
Here's the thing, and it's the only problem. I'm sad about my butt. Well, I'm angry about my butt. Sadness is part of it, and there'll be lots of time for sadness later. But right now, it's mainly just anger. And here's the thing, is that I think I'm winning this fight, and that I might be able to beat you guys. And
the bad lady is the one that sent you down this path. Nobody else sicked you on your three best buds to come?
The bad lady grew me up out of the ground, out of nothing. Listen, I want a butt very badly. And I'll tell you what, if you give me my butt back, I'll only kill your friends.
You'll let me go?
Yeah. Now, really think about it.
I am. Oh, believe me. I'm really thinking about it. You know, anybody that would hurt trees... They suck.
Yeah.
They suck.
No friend of mine.
Merle, what's he saying? Are we going to get out of this one?
Chop him. Will you please freaking chop him?
Do what you're going to do.
It's not my turn.
I'm in the ethereal plane. This is like I'm watching this on Netflix. You can kill whoever you want.
I'm going to keep talking to him. Chop his.
Yeah, I actually understand common English.
Okay,
that was French.
Him.
I was talking in French.
Oh, I don't understand French then. Sorry, go ahead.
Shop him.
Dad thinks plant and French sounds the same.
They did sound exactly alike.
Okay, language. Yeah. I am attacking him now.
Is it your turn?
I go after Merle, I guess.
Can I keep talking to him to distract him?
Yeah, you can talk to him as man his chops him apart.
I'm going
to
chop his butt again.
And I think
he's a bad
I think Magnus should get an advantage.
Yeah, no. He is distracted. Magnus, you have advantage on your attacks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's 16.
Pay no attention to that man with a great big axe. 23. He's a bad dude.
My first attack, I rolled a 23.
It hits.
That's a d8 plus 6. So that's 8 damage.
Okay.
And now I'm going to attack again.
Okay.
I assume I don't have a surprise advantage now, though.
No, he is well aware.
Well, I rolled 25.
Wow.
Well, it's hard to miss when you have a plus 7, and I hit him for 7.
Okay.
And I turn and go, Magnus!
What did you do? But you said...
Magnus!
But you...
Oh,
Trent. Trent goes, okay, guys, I'm thinking about it now. Now I'm giving it some serious consideration. Just the whole backing off, letting bygones be bygones thing. Please don't. I have kids. I was just born. You know this. I'm a baby, though. You wouldn't hurt a baby, would you? Wah, mama, blah, blah, please. Pass me my binky. Wah. Oh.
Is he dead yet?
Change my dipe, please. My binky now.
So, like, is he dead?
He's not dead, but he's asking for you to let him go.
We can't understand that.
I understood it. Well, you're in the ethereal plane. You wouldn't understand it anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Whose turn is it, Griff?
It's Trent's turn. He spends his turn pleading and crawling his way towards the front door, leaving a ghastly trail of sap behind him.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Am I back yet?
Yeah, Taco. It's up to you.
Oh, okay. So, just born, huh?
Yeah.
I raise my hand and I cast Scorching Ray and I say, "Welcome to Earth." 17.
Yeah.
24.
Yeah.
15.
No.
Okay, so 5, 2, 1, 5, 2, 1, 5. 5, 13. 2, 1, 13.
26.
26? Yeah, because it's double, because it's fire.
Oh, yeah. One of the beams cuts a line up the wall. Behind him and just goes right through his big arm, which falls to the ground with a thunk.
Oh.
And the other ray just hits him right square in the chest, and he collapses to the ground,
and sort of disintegrates. And as he does, the two vines that were restraining Merle release him.
Oh, Trent.
I guess we solved your baby Trent puzzle, huh?
You guys would have no idea what Merle is so sad about.
Yeah, we did great. Merle, come on.
I know. It's just, I don't know. He was so young.
He hit me, like, real hard.
Hey, I know, but you're a douchebag, and he's just so young.
I mean, I miss fair.
I miss him, too. It was a him? That's fine. Is there any good gold or anything?
You find Trent's wallet on a wallet chain. He had a wallet chain so going into a small bird's
hole. I keep staring at Taco the entire time.
He does not have a wallet on him. He's okay. A tree, but
He does have pockets, and we find his Subway stamp club card.
I go right. It has no stamps. He was born 30 minutes ago. Can I go over to the booths then? I've moved on with my life.
Okay. Yeah, there's a pretty clear gap into the booths where Trent fell. So you can sort of climb over some of the rubble and access those booths. There are some registers back here that have been picked over, picked clean. They're all open and empty. But underneath one of the booths, the far booth, underneath, sort of tucked away, is a small black iron lockbox.
Cool.
It's locked.
It's locked, right? Yeah. I figured it was locked.
Well, yeah.
What's the size of it? Large, small?
Shoebox size.
We should have some rogues. We have rogues.
We need a rogue. Can we have another brother? Rogue.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad.
Daddy.
Yes. Hey, Dad. I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a long time. How about a brother or sister that can play D&D with us? Now, listen, it is going to take him a while to learn the ropes.
He can adopt.
You can adopt?
Can you adopt Will Wheaton?
Actually, you do have a fourth brother.
What?
What?
Why are you telling us this?
Can you just ask. You've never asked before.
Can we end the call and talk about this? Seems like a bad venue for this.
No, you opened the can of worms.
This is what the donors paid for.
Let's talk about it. His name is Jon Snow.
Mm-hmm.
He has a job in the armed forces.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love him. He did that infama. You know what I'm going to do now? A licky boom boom down.
And he's kind of stationed far away, but you know, he's always asking me if he has any brothers, and I didn't acknowledge because he's a real bastard. So yeah. I haven't really said anything before, but maybe we can get him on the phone after the show.
Hey, Dad, just real quick. How proud of yourself were you for that joke?
Pretty proud. I've been saying this since episode 2.
And a second question, follow-up question. Dad, did you get my informer by Snow joke?
No way.
No.
I licky boom boom down.
Now he gets it.
Why did you licky my boom boom down?
I don't and understand. I'm dead. Hey everyone, this is Griffin McElroy, your dungeon master, your best friend, your life colleague. Thank you all so much for listening to The Adventure Zone episode 19, the second part of our newest story arc. It's good to have you here. I hope you're having a good Thursday. Thank you all so much for listening to and sharing the show. Again, if you tweet about the show using the ZoneCast hashtag, you might end up as a character in the show, like Captain Bane from this last episode. We'll be introducing a few more characters during this story arc, so get those tweets in now, and you might end up as one of them. Also, if you can, please share the show with any friends you might have that you think would be into this nerdy-ass shit. We don't pay to market the show at all. We rely entirely on word of mouth. And you all have been so, so great to us so far. But if you could help us get out there just a little bit more by sharing the show with your friends, leaving a review on iTunes, that really helps too. We sure would appreciate it.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements too before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
I have two personal messages here. You can get a personal message on the show by going to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron and telling them that you want to purchase a spot on the Adventure Zone. This first one is for Maxine Frank, and it's from Beth and Jordan. Beth and Jordan say to Maxine, happy birthday to the greatest sister, video game consultant, weird porn connoisseur, and voice twin. Hope you have a great Dirty 30 birthday, and I hope this message from your favorite McElroys brightens your day like Taco the Wizard brightens our lives. They asked for this around July 4th, which is her birthday, and what a great birthday to have. You get drunk, you eat hot dogs, you watch ID4, and then you get drunk again, but this time for your birthday. I think that sounds like the best day ever. Maxine, I hope it was real special. Here's our second message. It's for Julia, and it's from Tom. Tom says to Julia, happy one-year anniversary, my love. You mean the world to me, and I love you so much. I can't wait for what the next year will bring with you. Here's to a lifetime of wonderful memories. There is nothing to make fun of in that message. Nothing to goof about. It's just so sweet that I started to get a little bit faint. So I'm going to drink some of this goji berry juice and reconstitute myself. And I'm back. Congratulations to Julia and Tom. It sounds like you both found some love in a hopeless place. Or maybe a hopeful place. I don't know where you live. Congratulations, though, for real. If you're enjoying the Adventure Zone, you may want to check out some of the other shows on the Maximum Fun Network. There's lots of really great, really free programming on there, like Destination DIY, Judge John Hodgman, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Throwing Shade, and so many others. We all do other shows on the network, too, like Sawbones, Justin's medical history show that he does with his wife, Sydney, Bunker Buddies, a show that Travis does with his buddy, Andy, and the three McElroy sons do My Brother and Me, our OG podcast product. There's a lot of stuff on there, and it's all for free, so go check it all out at MaximumFun.org. That's it for the commercial part of this episode. I don't have anything left to say except that I sure do appreciate you. I'm excited to keep doing this story arc. It's going to go some places that I'm pretty excited about. Thank you all so much for listening. This podcast has been such a great experience, and it's sort of gone beyond our wildest expectations. So thank you all so much, and enjoy the rest of the episode. Next one's going up on, let me do the math, July 30th? Is there a July 30th? Yes, there is. July is not one of those months that peters out at 28. Next episode's going to be up on July 30th. I am a dumbo.
So we pocket the lockbox because none of us know how to open it.
Wait, this sucks. Is there a spell? It seems like there should be like lock opening spells. Doesn't it seem like there should be? I don't have
it. You
can
throw it really hard at the floor.
I just kind of hammer on it with my fist for a while.
I've never seen. Listen.
Oh, it turns out Steven's a rogue. The goldfish picks the lock.
We've been playing D&D for like 7 months now, and I've never heard the three of you give up on something as quickly as you gave up on that lockbox. A lockbox? It's locked? Well, I guess we'll never know.
We're thinking ahead too much.
You might not be alive to open up that lockbox. You could die in the next encounter.
Okay, I open it. I think my way through it.
Telekinetically open the box?
No, he uses his wits.
Yeah.
Actually, he uses his forehead.
That's right. There should be a. Can he use a dexterity check
to get? Okay, yes. Use a dexterity check.
I rolled 4 + 2, so 6.
Okay, with your dexterity check, you throw the box into the air and try to dodge it as it falls. And with a 6, you failed.
Okay, let me try strength check.
Okay,
it's an 11 + 4, 15.
Okay, you lift that box up, and you lift it really high, and you lifted it really fast.
Okay, let me try Constitution.
Super, super big muscles. Okay.
That's 16 plus 2, 18.
Okay, you and the box both drink poison, and you survive, but the box has died.
That means it's open, right?
Yes, with that, the box pops open. It has 900 gold pieces inside.
Yeah!
I did it.
Way to persevere.
We can't take these.
Totally can.
No, listen. I keep staring at Taco.
No, listen.
I don't blink.
No, insurance will cover this. No, it's fine. Listen,
it's a bank.
This is a victimless crime.
We're not looting.
FDIC will cover this.
We're literally stopping a bank robbery.
I keep staring at Taco.
Just because you found money in a bank doesn't mean that you could just take it with you.
I put the money in the bag for safekeeping.
Great. I grabbed some chairs. Like, I grabbed furniture. Well, why are we looting? This isn't a dungeon. People do business here. Put that back.
Listen, the government's going to pay this back.
Nobody's going to do anything. You're going to get arrested. You'll go to jail. We're literally talking to the chief of police. He's outside.
Yeah, and he would want it. Listen, he would do this if he were here. The corruption, you know, in the militia.
Magnus. I think he's right.
Nope.
Of course I'm
right.
Let's
put the chairs back, and let's you and I spend all of our energy looking for a door from the booths so we can continue on our quest like good adventurers.
No, I know where we're going, and I've been down this road, pocket spa, or whatever the fuck he's got now.
You don't know I have that.
Oh my god, did you buy the pocket spa so you can have a secret handheld place to put your stolen loot?
You don't know me.
Yeah, we've been in your spa. We were in the spa last week.
What? Yeah, you've been in it. You guys have, but Griffin hasn't.
Come on, Magnus.
You guys can split it 50-50 if you want. I swear to God, first thing I do when I get outside is I rat you out. I'm writing it on my goddamn character sheet, so I never forget to rat you two out.
Listen, I'm just taking it so the Raven doesn't take it. We can maybe use it to negotiate with her, and then return it to Captain Bane when we get out.
So you're keeping it for safekeeping and then convenient forgetting?
Yes.
Got it. Well, I can, that's morally gray. I can roll with that.
Okay, we're going to head to the left.
So you're saying you're going to get back to Moonbase Alpha, and you're going to go, what's in my bag? Why is it so heavy? Oh, shit, guys. We forgot.
You can't plan on it. It just has to happen. Yeah.
This is starting to sound a little premeditated.
No, it's not.
Okay. Alongside this lockbox, you also find
a note that says, this money is for whoever finds it.
Do not steal for kid medicine. It says... you find an odd-looking square key.
I steal it.
With the gold... Oh, it's gone. Whoop, poof. With the Gold Cliff Trust insignia on it.
Oh, man. Was that the key to the lockbox?
No.
Okay, good.
Okay, we head towards the door on the left that we saw earlier with the tracks and stuff.
There are two doors on the left, and I will describe them right now. One of them has a sign over it that says stairs. And the and the other one
it's like I'm there.
And the other one does not have a sign on it that says stairs. It is a much sturdier metal door with a part in it, and there is a small panel to the left of this metal door with a button on it and a slot.
I take the key that we got, and I try it in that slot.
You put it in, and the button lights up.
I walk away.
I press the button.
Adventure over. You press the button, you hear a bing bong. That's right, motherfuckers, another elevator. Does everyone get that I have an elevator fetish at this point? It's just like, what's not to like about them? And the door opens up. This is it opens up to reveal a glass elevator. A wonkavator,
if you will.
Well, if you will. But we won't, because it's not that. It's just a glass elevator with a glass bottom, glass walls. The top of the elevator car is a sturdier metal with some lights built into it. And the exterior of the elevator shaft is also glass, so you can sort of look out over the city of Goldcliff, or you would if the building had not been sort of surrounded by these vines. So there's little shafts of light poking in, but otherwise it's mostly just sort of vines that you can see through the elevator.
Now, if I remember from the last episode, Griffin, you said it was a 20-story building. Is that correct?
That's right,
it's been 2 weeks. How do you remember
look
that?
Who's writing shit down.
That's all in my dome piece, y'all.
And there are, in fact, 20 buttons on the panel on the interior of the elevator. They go from 1 to 19, and then at the very top of the row of buttons is the letter V.
You guys are going to have to do this because I can only reach the 10th floor.
I hit all the buttons.
Oh. Okay, so you're going in the elevator?
You know, I'm going to take the stairs.
What? But...
What?
We'll race.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Okay, I'll see you on the second floor.
A mini game.
Okay.
Now, everyone call in your votes. Press 1 if you want Magnus to get there first. Press 2 if you want Taco to get there first. Press 3 if you want Merle to take a nap.
Okay. So you, Taco, you are taking the stairs.
Yeah.
You're racing up. Maybe it's like a calorie conscious decision.
Yeah, I'm trying to slim down, lose the LBs. I might be back on TV someday. I never know. So I gotta slim down.
Okay. So you deliver that touching, heartfelt monologue to Merle and Magnus as the elevator door shuts and you start your long trek up these stairs.
When was he on TV before?
He had a cooking show.
That was in the bonus episode. Maybe you didn't listen to it because you don't support.
Well, I don't get a chance to hear any of them.
Sure,
subscribe to this.
Also, you've got a Zune, and I don't think those do podcasts.
We're going to the second floor is what we agreed on, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just go up one flight of stairs.
Okay, you go up one flight of stairs to the second floor, and the elevator door opens, and there they are, and you're on the second floor. And that was, boy, that was boring.
We get it.
Listen, guys, I think we should go to the one marked V, so I'm going to hop in there with you. Make room for your boy.
But what if there's something on all the floors?
Look, we got to make sure. I'll go up the stairs.
Okay, you check every floor. We're going to head up to the vault.
That's fine. I'll check every floor. You guys go up in the elevator, since I'm the smallest and you know, the shortest legs, and it'll take me the longest time.
And the funniest if you fall down the stairs.
That would be kind of... I make noises. Bing, 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 bing. All right.
Right, that's that. But that's not your armor. That's just
I give him the stone of far speech.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, good thinking. All right. And I got my inside earring on, too, you know.
So what is that you're going to...
It just gets more
He just
inside.
Looks really good.
I could put the scuttle buddy in with you guys.
Actually, Dad, I've been looking for the right time to tell you this.
What?
Your scuttle buddy was on the train that got destroyed.
Shit!
No, he did forget to get the scuttle out of it.
Not if it's destroyed. you can't use it once and throw it in a volcano and go. Here comes number two and three.
Is this going to be one of those moments where, like, two episodes from now, it's like you hear a slight scuttling out of the?
No,
darkness.
This is one of those moments where you learn to take care of your shit, where you learn to be cautious with your possessions.
Yeah. I hug Steven even closer.
Well, thank you once again. Thank you, Griffin, for teaching me an important lesson.
Yeah.
The son has become the father.
Now you're going to think, before you leave your Legos lying out,
I know.
What are you going to do?
New dad, could you push the narrative forward, please?
Yeah, so Merle, you hop out of the elevator at the second floor and begin your trek up the stairs. And Taco and Magnus, the door shuts to the elevator, and your elevator adventure begins. you're moving up, getting a satisfying ding with each floor that passes. It would be satisfying if you have an elevator fetish, which I know not everybody has. And at floor number 11, or should I say between floors 11 and 12, is somebody clipping their nails.
No.
What? No.
I don't know what that was. Did it sound like somebody throwing a chain dice bag up in the air and catching it?
A little.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that might have been me.
Between floor 11 and 12, the elevator suddenly stops. And then a few seconds later, the lights above you blink off.
Cool.
And the vines outside of the exterior glass wall of this elevator shaft begin to move. They begin to move in a circular pattern around the building, almost like they're constricting. And they shatter through the exterior glass wall of this elevator shaft and begin to sort of close around the glass walls of the elevator car. And below, you see a flurry of activity as you see vines have broken in through the first floor and are almost like filling up the elevator shaft like water. They're just growing wildly. It looks like a pit of snakes is just sort of being poured into this shaft. And that is the situation for you. Merle.
Still walking up the stairs.
Merle.
What?
So you started on 4-2. Why don't you make a constitution throw, and we'll see how quickly you're going to be able to scale these steps.
All right. 20.
You rolled a 20. Okay,
actually, plus 2 constitution, that's 22.
All right, you're super sturdy. You are moving up these stairs in a sprightly manner.
Gonna fly now.
Every you're skipping every 2 steps. You're just sort of, you're zooming up them.
Woo.
You've made it to the 6th floor, and you're yelling things at every step, apparently.
Here I go! Just
having a great time, and you are basically unaccosted.
Just having a good old time.
Love the stairs. Whee!
Switching the action back to Taco and Magnus. You are in a heap of trouble.
So we're between floors. It's not something where we can get out. Is there like one of those roof access panels like you
there
see in
is,
movies?
There is a panel above, leading up to the top of the elevator car.
Magnus, can you knock the panel out?
Yeah, probably.
Can you use, like, I don't know, Phantom Fist or your hands?
Yeah, sure. Can I reach it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Phantom Fist it.
It's about at the end of your wingspan.
Okay, I want to fist it.
Yeah, please don't say fist it.
Okay.
Okay. You Phantom Fist it, and the hatch just pops right off and goes flying into the air. It's just a hatch. You can lift it up with your hands. Why are you Phantom Fisting everything?
I must
you Phantom
destroy.
Fist it, and you hear the panel go, oh, shit!
None of us speak panel.
How far up are we?
I mean, you're...
Like, how far is there up above us? I guess we got, like, what, 100 feet?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Okay, I want to lift Taco out the panel.
No, unnecessary, my man.
And I cast. You guys ready for this?
I'm so ready.
Rope trick.
So here's what rope trick does. I take my rope that I have, and he
lassos the vines.
No, it's up to 60 feet long, and on the other end of the rope, it ties to something in another dimension. And we can crawl up the rope. It goes to its full height of 60 feet. And we can crawl up the rope into another dimension. Are you ready to go into another dimension with me?
So yes, climb, so ready.
You're going to climb up 60 feet of rope?
Well, we're going to start, because that way we won't die. And we're going to start going until we can find a way to get out. An egress, if you will.
Okay.
I feel confident we're going to find one.
Explain this to me one more time. You have created a hole 60 feet above you.
There is a hole 60 feet above us that a rope is now extending into.
Okay.
So we're going to start climbing.
All right. Go for it. Is there a climbing check? I don't have a character sheet in front of me.
I assume that's strength, agility, acrobatics, athletics.
Athletics, maybe?
Yeah, I think climbing is athletics.
Does the rope retract and bring you up? I'm just trying to figure out.
No, you still have to climb.
Yeah, athletics is strength. No, we already knew that. So athletics is difficult situations you encounter while climbing, jumping, or swimming.
You're making athletics check.
Yeah.
While climbing or swimming, each foot of movement costs one extra foot.
Well, we're not in combat, though.
I think that's
the only thing it says about. I mean, I'm reading under the section special types of movement: climbing, swimming, and crawling. And
no, I'm just going to give this a difficulty rating, and then you guys make the check, and then if it passes the difficulty rating, then you do it.
Okay.
Okay. We'll say you have to beat 10 is like medium, and 15 is hard. We'll split the difference because 60 feet is a long way to climb.
We don't have to climb the entire thing. That's not what I'm thinking.
We need to get out to the 11th floor and open those doors.
That's it. That's all we. We need to talk in character. So here's what I'm thinking: if we can climb up a foot, just to the next level, maybe
Maybe then Merle, do you read me?
10-4, good buddy.
Oh, okay.
Come on back, rocking chair.
People listen to this, so that seems...
Cab over Pete with a roofer on and a Jimmy Holland Halls.
Oh, golly.
Well, we're going to die.
How's your sonic experience, everyone? Pleasurable? Glad to have this directly in your earbuds?
Trying to add some special effects to the show.
Make sure to tell your friends to rate and subscribe.
Now, what did you want there, good buddy? Come on.
This is our first podcast ever.
This is golden. You're hating.
So listen, Merle, meet us on the 11th floor. As fast as your stupid little legs can carry you.
Roger that.
Okay, great. And once you get up there, try to figure out a way to get the doors open.
Okie dokie.
Thanks so much. Rope trick.
All right, you cast rope trick. Do you get to choose the dimension that it ties off into?
Hold on one second. Let me tell you.
Listen, you've been spending a lot of time in other dimensions. Aren't you worried about sperm count?
No, I'm in...
It rises in the air. At the end of the rope, an invisible entrance opens to an extra-dimensional space that lasts until the spell ends.
So it's a space.
It's just like a cubby hole.
Yeah. So it's just, and we can actually crawl into that and hide and chill. But that seems like we're not going to climb 60 feet. That seems crazy. No, so
who are we? You know,
right?
Okay. So a rope out of thin air falls in through the hatch in the elevator. And you look up and sure enough, there is a just sort of black hole, 60 feet above you around floor 17 or so. It has lowered itself into your elevator car.
So we start climbing for 412 or 11.
Yeah.
Well, you're between 11 and 12, so you'd be climbing 12. Towards 12.
Yeah. Climbing towards 12.
Okay. Let's take a break. Hop back to Merle. Merle, you'll make another constitution saving throw. See how quick you're moving up.
11 plus 3, right? And that's 14.
Okay. You're a little bit more winded now. You're not moving quite as fast.
Got it.
You've made it to floor number 9.
Oh, come on. All right. Do I get a turn, or we're not in combat, are we?
No, we're not in combat. I'm running. Just doing a sort of 24-esque split screen. Back to Magnus and Taco. The rope's in your car, and the ball's in your court.
Okay, I start climbing up towards floor 12. I'll make an athletics check. 4 plus 0, 4.
You don't do very good.
No, I try just like falling off.
Okay, I'm flashing back to gym class over here, gang.
Let me try. That is a 13 plus 7, a 20.
Okay.
Let him go.
You get up, you go up on the rope, and you move up just the few feet up to the 12th floor. You think maybe if you just stood on top of the car, you might have had access to the 12th floor door. But
then we wouldn't have got no rope trick.
Is true. Rope trick is pretty great.
I reach down and grab Taco's arm.
Okay, you reach down and grab Taco's arm. And as you do, the vines that have entered in through the exterior wall of the building grab onto the elevator and pull on it so hard. Gosh. And it collapses and falls. And Taco just sort of moves through the hatch as the elevator falls around him. And all of a sudden, you are supporting Taco's full weight. And I'm going to need you to make a strength check.
That is 15 plus 4, 19.
Okay, you are holding on to Taco with one hand on the rope, one hand on Taco at the 12th floor door. And we're going to move back to Merle. Merle, make a constitution throw.
May I just say good, vivid storytelling?
Yes. Good storytelling. Thank you.
Nothing makes a story better than someone saying in the middle of it that it's good.
This is good so far.
Call me Ishmael. This book is going to kick ass.
Jay Gatsby collapsed the elevator. I rolled
as God is my witness, this has been a fucking dope ass movie.
Attention, movie studios.
This is the start of a beautiful friendship and the end of a fucking kick ass flick.
16, wise ass. 16.
Thanks, moviegoers. Hope you liked it. For Casanova, it's me, a famous guy. Bye.
Luke, I am your father. Can you believe that shit or what? Did you see that coming? Fuck.
16.
16, okay. You have made it
up to the 12th floor, and as you kick open the stair access, there are some vines.
What?
There are some vines. That, I didn't know if you were talking to me or to
open what Nina. Door?
The elevator door.
Why are you yelling through the door when we can talk through the stone of blabbing?
That doesn't sound any better.
Open the door.
As you reach the 12th floor and kick open the stair access and enter in, this floor has just started to be overtaken by these vines. And they're coming in actually through the other side of the building than the elevator shaft is on. All and right. just sort of swarming into the room from the windows, filling it up like really, really, really quickly. It's almost like a tidal wave of vines has started to pour into this floor, and they are moving at you very, very, very quickly.
All right. I use my crowbar.
Do you actually have that?
Yes, there's a crowbar Justin? In the adventurer's kit.
Okay.
Crowbar.
Yes, he's got like a crowbar. An a. Go
I
for
call
it,
him
Gordon Freeman.
Chris.
Chris the crowbar.
Chris
Let
the crowbar. I put it into the elevator doors, and I pry the doors open.
Okay. You Wait. Pry the doors
but
open.
But I do it at the last possible second so I can be a vivid storyteller.
Can we okay. Can we actually, can Dad name the crowbar after a listener? Do you have a listener name handy that we could just use real quick?
Open up Twitter. Let's just go with the top name. The last person that tweeted about the Zonecast.
Okay.
I take Emmanuel the crowbar and I jam him into the doors of the elevator. And with all of my mighty dwarven might,
mm-hmm.
Good.
I pry open the elevator doors. Emmanuel straining in my hands.
Does that Emmanuel have
so
a face
nasty.
Like the flute in H.R. Puff and stuff?
Yeah, it's just like yeah. he's going, hey, be careful what you're using me for. And I pry open the doors at the very last second.
At the very last second. Okay.
No, wait.
Pry the doors open to the elevator.
Not at the very last
and
second.
And a wave
no,
of vines no. crashes into you from behind, knocking you forward into the elevator shaft. And the doors slam
five minutes,
behind you.
5 minutes before.
You didn't get there 5 minutes before. So you have fallen into the elevator shaft. Make a reflex saving throw to see if you can grab onto your party.
At the last 30 seconds.
So make a dexterity saving throw.
My dexterity, oh, jeez. 12 plus 0.
Okay, 12. Yeah, that's enough for you to grab onto Taco's
ankle.
Oh,
shit.
As you fall into the elevator shaft and the doors slam behind you, and Emmanuel the crowbar goes plummeting to its viney death at the bottom of the elevator shaft.
Griffin,
thanks for listening,
Emmanuel.
You realize
that crowbars are made out of metal. Like, it doesn't fall and die.
Well, actually, you hear him go, I'm gonna die! As he falls. And so the three of you are now hanging. So this scene was really great.
This looks like the Goonies.
It is very Goonies-esque. Magnus, you want to make one more strength throw now that you're holding up the weight of two yeah. people?
Okay, that's an 11 plus 15.
15. Yeah, that's enough. You are still holding on to this rope that is tied in a dimension that none of you know about.
Could either one of you grab the rope now, please?
Well, they're below it. You've got it sort of by the edge of it. And,
well, what the fuck am I supposed to do now?
I don't know. Find out next time on The Adventure Zone. You like that shit? That's audience retention.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Welcome to Lady Show. Behind door number one, we have fantastic weekly guests like Aisha Tyler, French Stewart, Retta, and more. Behind door number two, we have road trip and sleepover games like Would You Rather and Never Have I Ever, the kind of games that remind you of being a kid. Door number three brings you fresh hot episodes every Wednesday. You can find them on iTunes and at MaximumFun.org. Now pick a door. Just kidding. They're not real because we're a podcast. You're all winners. And we didn't really think this through. Lady to Lady.